what we're going to study this morning is the perfect example of why Luke was assigned to set everything in order. Remember when he wrote to Theophilus. So Luke and Acts were originally one book, remember? But what happened with Matthew and with Mark, they were called Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospel writers. And synoptic means, I don't know what it means. But anyway, but John's view of Christ was from a totally different angle, from a totally different standpoint. And the others, Jesus gives all his genealogy, and even when he's in the garden, he's shrinking back in fear. In John's, there's no genealogy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's written from the stand much more from the standpoint of God as opposed to the standpoint of man. But anyway, Matthew didn't pay a lot of attention. He made sure that he got all the things in the writing, in the book. But it was only Luke that paid specific attention to setting things in order. In other words, when these things happened. So Matthew's account of what we're about to read, it's both the end of Jerusalem and the sign of the end of time. And it's all mixed in. And we'll read it and we'll study it from Luke's standpoint, okay? So starting in in verse 37, we didn't talk about that, of Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and you would not. Now behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So what he is saying is that this is what he's about to say is the end of Judaism. We can't understand that because we've gone through this a whole bunch of times, and let me go through it briefly once more. The Judaism of the Torah and the Bible is called Temple Judaism. There had to be a temple, or at least the Ark of the Covenant, in order to have Judaism, because it required, in order for, there's so many things in it that if they didn't do that, then they would be cut off from the people. But the Jews invented synagogue Judaism. Well, and so synagogue Judaism, as you saw, when for Yom Kippur, instead of killing a scapegoat, they hold a chicken over your head. It goes on and on. I mean, it's the best that they can do without a temple. And that could be honorable, but from God's standpoint, it's meaningless. Now there's no more Jew, no more Greek, no more male, no more female. We've talked about that many times. And that's what happened after the cross. Now what we're going to look at first, what Jesus is predicting, is the end of Jerusalem. So let's read that. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Now, the way this reads, it sounds like he's saying many people are claiming to be Christ. That's not what he's saying, in my opinion. What I think he's saying, they're agreeing that he is the Christ, but they're full of false doctrine. Right?
It's kind of like getting through the door.
Yeah, yeah. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that they be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever shall be, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,'" and what he's saying is, "Lo, here is the anointing," or "there," believe it not. "For there shall arise false anointings and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he's in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcasses is, there will the eagles be gathered." And that should read, "Wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered." Because where the eagles are, there are no serpents. And so he's not, the word carcass and body are the same word. You understand? The reason, it's elsewhere in Jewish writings, but where the true body is, there the eagles shall be, and where the eagles are, there are no serpents. So there's no Antichrist. Okay? "Then, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." see. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Well, anyway, let's stop there because I want to. You want to? You see how it doesn't distinguish between the direct destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. So now let's go look at Luke's version of it. Luke. Luke 21, verse starting verse 5. Here there's a distinguishing made between the destruction of the temple and the instructions to flee Jerusalem. So that, and that's what they did. The Christians were all saved. None died in the siege of Jerusalem because they all left because of what we're about to read. And they all went to, they ended up, the main church ended up being in Antioch, now in Jerusalem, after AD 70. All right. In verse 5, and some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, that's what actually happened. You understand that? It was totally destroyed. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? Is one question. Two, and when and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Well, that's, never mind, it's just one. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth as... God, I can't see. I guess I better go to the...
The sea doctor,
yeah. Saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go you not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions... Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to be to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men by my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. So everything that we've just read is speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem. You understand? Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries come thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, that everything there that we've just read is about what's going to happen in AD 70, 40-some years from then. And so, and this was the first warning that they had when they see the armies start to surround Jerusalem, they flee. And not one of their lives shall be lost. And according to the ancient writings, there wasn't one believer, Christian, killed in the siege of Jerusalem, because they all left. So then comes the signs of the end, where in Matthew it makes no distinction. You understand?
So they knew it was coming, so as they saw it coming, they took off.
Right, and there were others that the other prophecies about it to the church in the years leading up to AD 70. But my problem with this is what happens, the people's theology for the end times comes from Matthew. So I just find that fascinating to me. I don't know if anybody else is interested in eschatology. But anybody know what eschatology means? Study of end time. Anybody have any thoughts about what we just read?
Is there another end time coming?
Yeah. Now the next one is the end of the world. When we rise up to meet him in the air. And when Jesus appears in the clouds to him, then we rise up to meet him. Just to put
which is talked about in the Matthew 23.
Right. But it's talked about, but it's mixed. The issues about it are mixed with the end of with the destruction of Jerusalem. You understand? Now let's look at the end time, the end time, the best description of it.
Okay.
Second Peter.
This is not a yo-yo.
Huh?
There's no yo-yo problem here.
No. There's no yo-yo.
Second Peter,
chapter 3. Start in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not talking about any in the world. He's talking about any in the body of Christ. Now, what does it mean? A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If the word 1,000 years, it was an idiom in Greek language, just means a countless time. And so the idea, again, that Moses didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. And he didn't eat or drink because God took him into eternity to show them the pattern. But in eternity, he was there for probably one day or whatever it was. But to the people on earth, it was 40 days and 40 nights. So that's what this is saying. And then we got all of this theology about setting up as the 1,000-year kingdom. Well, again, for one day with the Lord is 1,000. That's what that is an exhortation against rebellion. But anyway, the eschatologists, they take all these and literalize the parable, and so they've got all these different things that are going to happen, and then this will happen, and then that will happen, and God is acting differently in different times. And that's called dispensationalism. And that's because they don't understand time, so what they do then is it just creates an excuse not to be in obedience because they've got time to disobey. None of you would believe in that crap, would you?
Well, the thing about God acting differently at different times is the kind of an issue with me.
I know. We've discussed it many times.
I don't remember discussing it a lot. But I think that's a little too broad.
there before the foundation of the world.
It also happened in time.
But it happened, it could have, it's happening in time right now.
Right. But there's the things that took place of old with the, you know,
so let's start with Abel, Cain and Abel.
And they looked
forward and saw the day of Christ and were glad. It's all the same.
I kind of like it is and it isn't to me. It is all the same, but if you want to stand, you can argue it to eternity. But the other side, there's also a place of putting
it
together.
It depends on whether you're looking from the top down or the bottom up. God exhorts us to confess the Lord Jesus. Remember, we say that means to say the same thing as he does. The only way you say the same thing as he does is that you see the same thing. The only way you see the same thing is you hear the same thing. So as long as you want to look at time from the bottom up, of course, things are always different. But looking from the top down, it's all the same. He's not acting any differently at any point in time. The appearance of it may appear differently, but it's the same thing. Otherwise, it couldn't be an example for others in time. We're still on time.
Yeah, well, you say the same thing. That's a huge, that encompasses so much. That it's,
but that's what confess the Lord Jesus means. It's homologio. Means to speak the same thing. I agree, it encompasses everything. And it's the way you do it, the only way you can do it is you speak as from the oracle of God, from that under the wings of the cherubim. And your speeches and your thoughts are seasoned with this component of eternity, salt. And then it becomes as natural as breathing. Well, one is trying to be understood with the brain, and the other is understood by being apprehended by it. You can understand this with the brain.
I figured that out with my brain.
All right. That's why the only thing your brain can do, again, is see the futility of life, the emptiness of it. Then comes repentance. And again, repentance is the work of a brain with integrity.
I put something together on that this morning with repentance is forgiveness is at that same place. You repent, but you ask forgiveness or you seek forgiveness, repentance.
Well, but repentance doesn't necessarily, remember, these words are they've poisoned our minds because we have the same word repentance and penance and penitentiary. It should be just shuv in the Greek, in Hebrew, which is divorce yourself.
Yeah, because there's no punishment.
It's not about punishment.
Right.
It's about repentance. It's about emptying. It's about there's many different words, repentance, death, emptiness, abandonment, but they all mean the same thing. It's you not, you've seen the you-ness of you is so really ridiculous, it's a puff of smoke.
And you stop giving breath to that which is stupid and
right.
Futile, and you repent.
Right, but the repentance always leads to the potential of being born again.
What about the forgiveness right there at that moment, though?
Well, forgiveness is the fundamental issue of forgiveness in terms of the forgiveness of sin is that the forgiveness of sin is that you died. No, the Lord is faithful to forgive all our trespass by the blood of Christ. But it's this confusion of sin and trespass. Sin requires a debt, yours. That's the predicate of Christianity. The end of self-realization, the end of self-seeking.
Which took place in Christ and his death and our death with him.
Right. But we have to, we don't try to die. That's, obviously that's a contradiction in terms. You remember we had people running around here for years saying, it was their phylactery. They were running around saying, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. They were trying to die instead of just seeing once and for all. To try to die is a contradiction in terms. You can't try to die. You can only see yourself as dead. And if you see yourself as dead, then why put makeup on a dead man? Then everything is by faith, and faith alone. Never use this thing for solutions. All right. Well, we're not going to get... We'll get to... We had a side trip, which is good. But make a note that we'll start at 2 Peter tomorrow. Anybody have any other response? You understand the difference between the end of the Jerusalem and the instructions to flee and all that and versus the end of time? All right. Take it, big guy.